coming to the scripture, have you ever been told off in public? Can you recall that moment? Publicly being rebuked or humiliated. I have been when I was young. I remember it very well. I won't tell you why, but I was told off. And I know with experience, it is not nice. It wasn't a good experience. Well, this is what has happened with Peter here. Jesus called him Satan right in front of all his disciples and rebuked him very harshly and very hardly. We read here Jesus began to predict his death, and he tells his disciples how he will be betrayed in Jerusalem, suffer in the hands of leaders, elders, and chief priests and teachers, and the teachers of the law, and he will die. And when Peter heard that, he was very upset. He took him aside and said, no, Lord, this should not happen to you. This shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned around and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Last week, we saw another reading that had a mention of Peter, when Jesus asked, who do you think I am? And it is a Peter who is very quickly, and many said many things. You know, you're Elijah, you are this prophet, you're that prophet, but it's a Peter who gets it right. And also get a public credit saying that it's not by flesh and blood you get that answer. It is the Spirit of God that has revealed you this answer. And obviously he was praised in front of the public. And they're still there. And Jesus had to tell him off. Very quickly, where he was thinking great about himself, now has been humiliated in front of public. Peter was an impulsive character. And we read about it. He responded to situations very quickly, without much thinking. He got into it. And we all know, by reading scripture, how he behaved. In this situation, here he gets right, in the previous reading, week's reading, and then very quickly, we read today, he gets wrong again. Similarly, when he sees Jesus walking on the water, it's a Peter who jumps out when the rest of them prefer to remain in the boat, but it's Peter who jumps out, walks few steps rightly, but very quickly again, he focuses on the storm and everything goes wrong, and then he starts sinking again. It's the same Peter who takes out his sword in the Garden of Gethsemane and then assaults a Roman soldier. He was prepared to fight, prepared to die. But within a few hours, we see him denying Jesus completely. Saying, no, I don't know him. I don't know him at all. Within a few hours gap, he was a different person. This is the same Peter who preaches and converts 3,000 people, but yet struggles to understand God's provision for Gentiles. Same man, ups and downs, up and down. And he got wrong many times. He got wrong many times. And he made terrible mistakes, not simple mistakes, but the terrible mistakes. Even this reading, and when we read chapter 17, the next chapter, which has an account of transfiguration of Jesus, even having been rebuked by Jesus, I think still his mind is occupied saying, though Jesus should not suffer. And after the experience of transfiguration, it is Peter who says, Lord, let's be here. They're still in Caesarea Philippi, 105 miles away from Jerusalem. And Jesus is making his way towards Jerusalem. But he says, no, we'll remain here, Lord. And we'll make a shelter which will protect you. They're still there. He's still been rebuked and haven't really got it what was in Jesus' mind. What was God's plan? He never got it right. He found it very difficult to understand what God was doing through Jesus Christ. And he made mistakes, many mistakes. And yet, God used him very powerfully. Because when we look, why God used him powerfully? Because I think he was a very willing person. Though he made mistakes, he was willing to follow God. And secondly, he never dwelled on his mistake. He quickly moved on. He left them behind, learned from it, and moved on. Wonderful character. Though he made mistakes, he had a willingness, and he moved on. We had holiday club. You can see that, all the activity that has happened last week. And on our first day of holiday club, we learned about Peter. He was our first character we looked at. And we learned from his life that there are never too many mistakes that can separate us from the love of God. There are never too many mistakes that can separate us from the love of God. That's the first day. Never too many mistakes. That's what we learned. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Doesn't matter how many mistakes we make. We all are weak. We all are stupid many times. And that's what Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. Paul writes, For I am convinced. He doesn't say, I think. That's what I think. No, he says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor future, nor any powers, neither highest heights or neither depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. Our mistakes will not separate us from the love of God. We all are weak and fallen, but if we are willing and learning and willing to learn from our mistakes, God can use us all the way he used Peter. There's another thing in the scripture Jesus talks about to Peter, that he said, not only Satan, you are Satan, but you are a stumbling block, he says. You are a stumbling block. Because, he says, your mind is full of human concerns. And that's what we can be many times. A stumbling block for others. Jesus says, your mind is full of worldly things. What Jesus tells us as his followers, as we are willing to follow him, that we need to be mindful about our mind. Many things humanly looks very correct, very right, but yet in God's sight they are not right. As a followers of Christ, the scripture tells us and reminds us that we should be mindful about our mind. If we are not careful, we will make mistakes. If you're not careful, we will make a mistake. Now, very clearly, scripture tells us that if you're not careful, we will be a stumbling block. And how can that happen? It's because of our behavior, our attitude, the way we live. Everything can become a stumbling block. As a Christian, people are watching us, looking at us. And if you're not careful, we will become a stumbling block. Our churches can be a stumbling block. And we all know that, knowing our history, what has happened through the churches. In spite of being helpful many places, we have become a stumbling block. Our culture can be a stumbling block for many. I recall the great statement of Mahatma Gandhi when he was asked about why he could not follow Jesus. His reply was, "I like your Christ. I like your Christ, but I don't like you Christians." That's what he said. As we said. And there are many stories. Even if you read the story of Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, you know, how this wonderful man was turned off from God because what happened in his life, because what people, those around him, did to him. So we can easily become a stumbling block for others, and we have to be careful. Now Jesus, again, as he goes further down in verse 24, Jesus tells about his followers about two things. He says, if you want to be my followers, two things you need to do: deny yourself and follow me with your cross. Deny yourself and pick up your cross before you follow me. And when I was reading this, I was taken back into Matthew 4, where the first call of follow, you know, was given when they were fishing. And Jesus said, follow me. And they followed him. And in that, it's just to follow me. There's nothing. There's no cross or nothing. It's just to follow me in the early time of his ministry. And they followed him. And what they were doing, they were catching the fish. And what they had in their hands, their nets. And when they followed him, they had to let their net go. They had to get their nets go in order to follow him. And then when they're following him nearly 3 years, and now he says, your hands are empty now, you need to pick up your cross because your nets have gone completely. And that's what following of Jesus looks like. Letting our old nature go. Their nets were their identity. That's what described them. That their old nature, they had to let go. Follow him. And then after he was convinced, he said, now I truly see that you wanted to follow me. Now pick up your cross, the nature of Christ. Pick it up and then follow me. And that's the call of Jesus for us as his followers, letting our old self go and pick up the nature of Christ, his cross, and then follow him. We need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. And now, following him, denying ourselves, and following him, how does it look like? What does really that mean? And when I was thinking that, the second reading, very briefly but very sweetly, explains in Romans that we had, chapter 12, 9 to 21. That gives us a glimpse how, what does that mean, denying ourselves and taking up a cross and following Jesus looks like. And it tells us that that means we have to hate the evil. We have to do good. We have to consider others above ourselves. We have to practice hospitality, serving the God with a gladness, praying faithfully and diligently and without ceasing, blessing our persecutors, not being proud, doing right things, and staying in peace with everyone, trying to be in peace with everyone, not taking revenge, not repaying evil with evil, but feeding them when they're hungry. In brief, not overcoming by evil, but overcoming evil with good. This is what denying ourselves and taking up the cross looks like. That's what exactly Jesus did. And that's what he wants us to do if we want to be his followers. Looking at the list that I read and then looking at that scripture from Romans 12, 9 to 21, doesn't look very easy, is it? It's difficult. It's difficult to think someone above ourselves. We live in the world, we always taught to think yourself is the best. self-respect, dignity, and so many things. But that's not wrong. But what Jesus is calling is very challenging. Thinking others first, loving others, loving those who persecute us. It's not easy. We will make a mistake. We will make a mistake. But the good thing is that we know from Peter's life, it doesn't matter how many mistakes we make, God will still use us if we are willing and willing to learn from our mistake and move on. This is exactly what God will do to us. We need to remember that there are never too many mistakes that can separate us from the love of God.